Father, we are having our revival. So in Jesus' name, we proclaim these things. All family members that have sons that are in war, we're praying for their salvation, but they're not saved, Father. And again, that they make it home safely in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it when he comes and with authority, you know. Don't you? Hold up, Ekid is Salato, Mekid, I see. Shokrandle, Toboechandovaski. No metu glasso, high for mercy. For longing, Kelly Moskia Vete. Yes, I know. Yes. Yes. For along with my presence, well, you know how to yield yourself to me. Many times I find that I'm looking for to answer prayers that have not been able to be answered up to this point. If you'll find out how to cooperate with me and yield yourself over to me, then I can use the mind anointing with the truth, and it'll expedite, as I told you before, the time between praying and receiving answers. So take a moment, and something you're really offering up to him, make it, you know, it's something that's been on your heart. You need an answer, whether it be from job, I don't know. It's you. That he's wanting to teach us, and that is what he's moving. You know, how to get what he wants in a service. He wants you. He wants your loved ones. So you get ready, because he's ready to pay particular attention to whatever you're going to offer him, as though he wouldn't. But it's our cooperation with him that makes these things possible. We don't meet with him, should I say his presence. We don't meet with him and meet with his presence to leave the same. Why would we gather together in a group, meet with his presence if we're going to leave the same? We're not. So I'll give you a moment to say, sing a little more. You get, let something come to you, or you get something out. I don't care if it's a loved one. He's the one that wants to use this. I'm just working here. Okay. Let's worship him a little. And get ready. You can be seated as long as your arms aren't. I don't know where this originated, but it started with somebody praying for you. I know that. And he was able to take that prayer and save you lots and lots of time. You didn't stumble in here by accident. That was a design by God as he's answering not only your heart, but somebody's prayer. So I can tell you, by the way he's moving, that you're going to be so glad that he took you and put you on this path because of what he has for you to do. And you know. You know it can't be done without his power, without the movings of his spirit. But I want you to know he's heard of all of it, so you can rest assured it'll come to pass. So you're here taking a step so you can take that next one. In Jesus' name. Now, release your glory. And both of them. Yes. You know that it you'd hope to see, you're going to see it. All right. Now's the time to stand back up. Only it'll be very short. Lift those hands. Now, Father, everybody's heart that communed with you, I'm confident that they're receiving what they ask you. Bring this to pass, Father. Bring it to pass. That heart to prayer that they yielded up to you. Bring it to pass in Jesus' name. And for that, I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You can be seated if you're able. I was born in 1943. Went through Vietnam. Joined the Navy when I was 18, but I saw no trouble. In fact, I've known nothing but prosperity. I haven't seen any rough times, no hunger, no lack of the ability to get a job or able to get one, never anything like that. Times of like the Great Depression, and like things that happen overseas. I've ministered in places like that. Cardboard houses, cities almost. Sleeping on slats on the ground. Eating when they could, if they could. I've ministered in places like that. To tell you the truth, I was really glad to get out of there. To go home. You have a tendency to want to block it out of your mind, you know. This is their problem. Even Ensenada, went across the border to minister there. I'm so glad crossing through Tijuana then back into the States. I'm so glad to cross that line. I was in my 30s. But even then I discovered I could have one foot in Tijuana, and one foot in America, and have a prayer line on this arm and one on this, and I'd get a lot more results in the devastated country than in the good country. I So I've never known anything like that that I couldn't run from. I could get to the safe zone and pat the money in my pocket and thank God I get to eat the next meal. But of course, you don't know how to feel about something like that. It affects some people so drastically they go try to change the world, and they do. A lot of them do a pretty good job. The feedings, the... But some of us, we wouldn't know how to react if situations like that came to us. And the way things are looking, and if you go by the book of Revelation, you know what's coming. See? So I have faith. It took a little more to the mortification to the level we received it to go on to mortify yourself in a land of plenty and pleasures on every corner, whatever you want, it's within your reach. I discovered a long time ago when it comes to persecution, flesh wants out. When it comes to pleasure, it wants in. Same people that excel in God and persecution come to the U.S. and all pleasures offered. Their loyalty to God was fully more challenged under abundance than persecution. In the natural, I just don't know any. So I don't really know how I would have reacted if things escalated to a point like that. But I do know this. The diversity of places Paul went, he had some pretty tough times, and it taught him more about the grace of God. Anyway, so whatever's coming, I do know we're going to learn now. When there's too much money to spend and too much food to eat, that we're going to learn to operate now, because we got a chance to pray and it still moved on like it was. So now the immoral vote and all that's been organized, and they're taking all of that, and it won't be really that much longer. Then you just want to stand up and declare who and what you are, and you won't do it without consequences. But, so we don't know a whole lot about operating under those circumstances and conditions continually. But I'd just soon go to the school of the Holy Spirit, whether good or bad. I'm not going to wait. So I've been going to the school of the Holy Spirit, and so most of you have too. And because we have, it won't be the first time these kind of things come. It won't be the first time that men had to learn to operate next to destruction and persecution on levels they never dreamed they'd ever live in. So regardless which way it goes in the rest of our life, we will give Him His revival. I do know this. When the power gets to the places where, you know, I can't hardly like the way He's been dealing with me lately. It's too hard. In the children's hospital, they're all innocent. That's why there's nothing to hinder their miracle. Don't you know you wouldn't empty the children out of 3 or 4 hospitals in major cities? That pretty soon you'd have that major city singing another song. When Rome began to embrace Christianity, like Alan was preaching this morning, if you get too focused on one road, and it happened to be right, then what the devil does is gives you another goal, so you get lost in it, and it's a wrong one. Well, by the time that Rome was evangelizing everything, they were already praying to Mary. But I do know we can have success and results, not just hide on the corner level. And we can bring it to the streets publicly, because the people's the one that will be hailing the message, no matter what the persecution, in any city we go to. And that can happen just because of the children. Now, he's starting to deal with me kind of mean. He's never really got mean to me before. I'm thinking, get behind me. And he says, I'm not the one that gets behind you. I seen the child all messed up. You know, people, they all kinds of marks of the fall. Conjoined twins. Have both of them go home individually and whole. See what the family does with that one. What did he say? The halt and the maimed and the lame. You think that's hard for him? Well, he got real strong with me. Seen some children like that. I go, that's in our agenda. And you know how he can communicate a whole revelation in a second. That's why he doesn't like to come in person and talk to you. He'd rather just get in and get out. In 1 second, you can understand a whole revelation. Take you a month to preach. That kind of how he barnstormed dimmed on me. Just come in on me. He said, come on, with all this pleasure around you, the good life. You stubborn enough to stay in there long enough for me to do this? And I knew what he meant. Whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, how many knows what this last key? Can anybody tell me what this last key is? What? Yeah, this last key he's given is the compassion and the love of God. And I had to take a little bath in that just to finish understanding everything that he has. There's part of the word I couldn't understand because I didn't know that side of God good enough. But you know how he talked about teaching in a language, and not a language which man teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, by comparing spiritual things to spiritual, meaning in the language the Holy Ghost teaches, when you pray in tongues, then he compares spirit to spirit, but he does it like you have God's nature now. You can understand the things of the Spirit. So he uses that ability for you to understand spiritual things to teach you mysteries and spiritual things. But there are some verses that were pertaining to the side of God and nature, and that, what would you say, that love and that faith. And for years I couldn't understand them because I didn't know God well enough for the comparison. Like, further you get into the love of God, the more you understand Him. For God doesn't have love. How many reasons did Jesus say Satan comes? He comes not but to, meaning that there's no other reason he comes. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. See, he doesn't come for any other reason, because he doesn't have any other reasons. That's what he is. He's death. He only comes for one reason in three parts. And that's to kill. He doesn't do anything else. He's not good at anything else. And all he does is he comes for is to kill. Misjudge him. Well, God's the opposite. He's love. The more I'm understanding that, then the verses will open that I couldn't see before because I didn't have that understanding. Would you open to Luke 17 for a minute? And you got a marker there, you know. You can go back to the 15th chapter then if you got the other one marked. In the 4th verse, it says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, and if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he puts on his shoulder and comes rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Look, I found the sheep that was lost.' And I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons that need no repentance, or the woman that lost a day's wages or a silver piece. And she sweeps diligently and searches. When she's found it, she calls the neighbors to come and rejoice with her. I found the peace I lost. Likewise, I say, in the 10th verse, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. So if you want to know what heaven has a party over, that we have a great party and call our friends in over losing money, especially a day's wages, or you have to understand, to lose a sheep is to lose the wool and the other sheep that'll give them for the next decade. Yet, the angels in heaven were more rejoicing and more happy over the one that was rescued and came in than the 99 that needed done. So in case you're wondering what heaven throws parties over. It's when you rescue a lost sheep of his fold. He loves the sinner, not his sin, but he loves the sinner as much as he loved you. Because when he died, that's what we all were. Had he not offered himself, then the first covenant wouldn't have worked. It's because it was the shadow that spoke of him. So he loves that guy that's lost as much as he loves me. Only I'm in the fold. I'm safe. I bring that guy in. Heaven has a part. Don't think you one moment that the party that heaven's having isn't as powerful towards you as it is the sinner that was lost. Whatever your involvement, whatever you did, whatever it cost you, you don't think he's there for you after throwing a party? We see, and if the apostles asked him to increase their faith, wouldn't you listen to his answer? I know it was Peter. If Peter said, increase my faith, wouldn't you listen to his answer? Because if what he's going to tell them, I mean, that's what they ask. So what he's going to tell them will increase your faith. Are you forgiving me for not being a normal preacher? Okay, go back over to 17. Jesus had just gave the teaching of the rich man and Lazarus, and how that he wouldn't give him the crumbs from his table. By and by they both died and was separated by a great gulf, and the rich man began to beg. You'd think he'd be full of hatred and want to damn everyone to hell he could. But he didn't. He wanted the salvaging of his five brothers. And he tried to negotiate. He said he couldn't. See? So then Jesus made some incredible statements after the teaching of the rich man at Lazarus in 17:1. Then said he, and connected with and based on what he's already said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come. Meaning, it is just absolutely impossible for anything but these kind of offenses will come. So when he gives the warning, he says, look, it were better for him that a millstone, the second verse, was hanged about his neck than he's cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Well, what kind of these little ones was he talking about? Lazarus. Now, it's a real powerful statement to say it's impossible in the state everything's in for anything to happen, but these kind of offenses will come. For you and I as believers, you know, a 2-ton millstone around your neck as a necklace for an afternoon swim, that's pretty serious for running babies off, wouldn't you think? Oh, what does he say here? The second verse is better for him a millstone hanged about his neck than cast into the sea. should offend one of these little ones, take heed to yourself. Look, if your brother trespasses against you, go ahead, rebuke him. He repent, forgive him. He trespasses against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in the same day come to you saying, I repent, I'm sorry, then thou shalt forgive him. Now, I know this was Peter, you know, 5th verse, I know it was. And the apostle said, I said, how many times? Said 7. He said, oh my God, man, you better increase my faith. Catch it. Did he say that when he said, if it be thee, bid me come? Jesus said, it's me, come on. And he sank. Did he say, would you mind increasing my faith? How about the multitude and the loaves and the fishes? When he saw, did he say, oh my God, increase my faith? No. But when he says, look, you got to forgive this guy if he comes to you 7 times in a day. And he wanted to question him a little bit, you know. He says, my God, increase my faith, please. And so Jesus said, in 4, and if you'll trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, my God, increase my faith. Yes, Peter. And the Lord said, look, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But then he starts with these questions. He starts with the question, but which of you? Now he's going to compare them to something. And when you teach with questions, then they have to examine themselves in the light of what they know to answer. Questions are a good teaching tool. He says, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come in from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, look, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, and after I've eaten and drank my fill, afterwards you can eat and think, or drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things which commanded him? Look at his answer. I think not. Well, they knew what it was, you know. Peter is a fisherman. Luke, it wrote this, was a physician when he was writing it down. They knew what it was and meant to have servants. He said, if he's feeding cattle and plowing, he comes in, day of sweat and work, do you say, oh, you poor little servant, sit down, feed yourself. When you're all done ministering to yourself, come and serve me. He said, I think not. So who's he comparing us to? Is he comparing us to that servant, or is he comparing us to the Lord? The Lord of that servant. Look at the next verse. So, likewise you. Oh boy, we're going to get compared to one or the other now. So likewise you, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we're unprofitable servants. Oh my goodness, he put us in the servant's role. We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our what? Oh, wait a minute. Wait. That just sounds cold and indifferent and unappreciated. But when you have done all you know to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've simply done that which is our duty to do. I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Not for the longest time until I took another step into his love. Here, you know, and one time Jesus said to that same question, I say to you, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. 490 times, my God. I'd have to forgive a guy that many times. Then he put us in that servant's role. I didn't know what he meant. Does he thank that servant now that servant's you? Does he thank you? Oh, no. No, we just done that which is our duty to do. Well, this is what he was saying. Peter's the one that asked for the increase of the faith. Did he not? He said, you know what you could do with that sycamine tree? You really want this increase? Yes, sir. Then if you're going to be my servant, you will forgive that guy 490 times a day if necessary. Do you get it? You will. Do you want to be my servant? Yes, sir. Do you want the increase of the faith? Yes, sir. You're my servant. You will forgive you. I didn't think it had anything to do with my faith. Yes. What do you believe with? Do you know how hard it is to have faith? Or to receive God's blessing when you're destroying the people he died for? Are you preaching guilt? No, no. No. Like Peter, I want my faith increased. If that's what it takes, then that's where I'm going. Can I worship him again? Please. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I know you can't tell it, but I'm so excited. Somebody's preached sometimes 40 times a month, year after year, for this 36 year of ministry. And when they get excited, it's real. When you find more, think, oh my goodness, it was there. And that's what I've been looking for. I don't have to finish the same. I don't have to stay the same. When time is, power was so thick, and presence actually, I could cut it with a knife. I said, what is that? She said, my compassion. That means if I'm moved by his compassion, well, he healed them all. Comes that word. But not only is it doing that, it's changing the way I live and deal with day by day. I think the devil thought he had me for a few years. He just made me mad. Everything I loved was disappearing. I know where they are. Don't take a lot more than that. greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So there's no place He can bring anything. Can neither stop what we're doing or stop what you're doing. He's not big enough. So when He talks to me like He does at times, come on, you got it. You got nothing in you to stay in there. He said, you got to lay it on me. Hallelujah. He does this often. I'm going to get in my own line. But if you were crying, and I was, so I'm getting in my own line. Then I'd come up here, if you will. If you were crying in this service, just come on up. Get on the green line.